Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeart Podcasts, and how the tech are ya? It's time for the tech news for the week ending on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. And kicking things off, we've got a devastating story involving ransomware hackers and the largest health insurance company in the world, at least as measured by revenue. We're talking about United Health. And that company's CEO, Andrew Witty, faced some pretty tough questions from U.S. senators this week due to hackers stealing a quote-unquote substantial amount of sensitive medical data belonging to anywhere from one-third to half of all American citizens, which is a big ol' yowza. Okay, so United Health is obviously a huge player in health insurance, the hugest, you could argue. And on top of that, back in early 2023, United Health acquired another health company. It's a company that was called Change Healthcare. Now, this company specialized in payment platforms for health services and, in fact, handled payments for like 50% of all medical payments in the United States. But apparently, Change Healthcare's computer systems weren't really hardened properly against hacker intrusions. And sure enough, some folks from the infamous hacker group Alpha, which is the same group that helped infiltrate MGM Resorts last year, they managed to use some stolen credentials to access a Change Healthcare server in February of this year. And then that we go from there. So they apparently took a crap ton of data. And Witty claimed that the server had been scheduled to be upgraded to bring its security up to par, that this wasn't really United Health's fault. This was an issue with Change Healthcare, you know, the company that now was part of United Health, and that this group of servers were meant to be upgraded so that they would be brought on par with United Health's security practices. And, you know, that might be true, but we all know you're only as secure as your weakest link, which makes me wonder why United Health didn't hold off on integrating the Change Healthcare servers into their overall system until after these security upgrades took place. I mean, that to me would make sense, right? Like, you don't want to incorporate that and bring it under the umbrella of everything else. Even if it only affected Change Healthcare's systems, that would have been enough, but to potentially get access to other things is even worse. So this is not as bad as what would follow, in my opinion. Maybe it is as bad. This is equally as bad, I'll say. Because United Health went ahead and paid the ransom. $22 million worth of cryptocurrency. Now, I know I'm a broken record about this, but paying ransoms is a bad idea. It reinforces that this kind of attack is profitable, that it works. If you pay them, that just sends the message of, hey, this is a way to get stinking rich. This means that we're just going to see more of these attacks in the future. It just encourages future attacks. It doesn't help. And worse than that, as United Health is now discovering, paying the ransom doesn't necessarily mean that the attackers are going to play ball and make good on their promises. So lawmakers grilled Witte about the potential disruptions in American healthcare that could result due to this attack, not to mention the implications of all that data that was stolen. You know, you got to remember, this is the same governmental body that recently came down hard on TikTok for potentially siphoning American data to China. Now, when you think about the stuff that's on TikTok, you're like, okay, well, that could be like location data, things like that. But most of the content on TikTok is stuff like pranks, stunts, and dances. So at least on a surface level, it seems pretty harmless. But now we're talking about a case where sensitive medical data had been stolen. So you figure this has got to be a much bigger deal, right? This is way worse than potentially a siphon line of data to China. You got to have your priorities. Something tells me that Witte is going to end up just being fine by the end of the day. I mean, he's the CEO of one of the largest companies in the world by revenue. But hey, I'm willing for the Senate to prove me wrong. Now, in the ongoing tale of consolidating media companies, Sony Pictures Entertainment has made a move to acquire Paramount Global for the princely sum of $26 billion cash. That's billion with a B. Sony is doing this in partnership with Apollo Global Management, which is a retirement solutions and asset management company. Honestly, when I read a description like that for what a company does, it's so vague. It makes me think of a friend of mine who used to say his family was in quote-unquote waste management business, and he would actually do the air quotes while saying it. So a shout out to you, Frankie Big House. Interestingly, Paramount is already in acquisition talks with another media company called Skydance. As I understand it, the date for that agreement, whether it goes forward or not, ends today. Skydance, in the grand scheme of things, is a relatively upstart media company. It traces its history back to 2006. Skydance and Paramount have been in partnership on and off for many years. They've worked together quite a bit. But anyway, Paramount has been going through quite the shakeup recently. Earlier this week, the media conglomerate said goodbye to its now former CEO, Bob Bakish, and replaced him with a triumvirate of executives that includes George Cheeks, who's president and CEO of CBS, Chris McCarthy, who's the head of MTV and Showtime and several other networks, and Brian Robbins, the studio chief of Paramount Pictures. Now, the industry as a whole of traditional media has clearly really been struggling. You know, cord cutters have been ditching cable packages, and streaming services are trying to find a way to stand out from the crowd while also creating a profitable business, which is really hard in that space. I wouldn't necessarily call either Paramount or Sony a sinking ship. I think that's overstating things. But considering the volatility that's in the media landscape right now, this feels kind of like a bunch of big boats that are caught in very rough seas, hoping that by lashing themselves together, they might weather the storm more effectively. Plus, we can't let Disney own everything, right? Over at Tesla, Elon Musk has been making some brutal cuts in personnel. As QZ.com's William Gavin puts it, the cuts have affected, quote, almost every corner of the company, from senior level executives to summer interns, just weeks away from employment, end quote. That's from an article that's titled, "Not Even Tesla Interns Are Safe from Elon Musk's Cost Cutting." The cuts are in line with Musk's announcement that the company would downsize by around 10%, and that in itself reportedly is a much smaller cut, like half of what Musk initially wanted to do. One department that was absolutely eliminated by these cuts is Tesla's supercharger division. That alone is a group that had 500 people in it. This is the department that created the standards for charging Teslas. They secured build-out for hundreds of charging stations. They worked with other auto manufacturers to get them to adopt Tesla's charging methodology as something kind of like an industry standard. Not only did Tesla shut down that whole department, it has also backed out of agreements to build charging stations in crucial areas such as New York City. To completely eliminate the supercharger group seems a bit perplexing. Tesla arguably had a dominant position in charging technologies and could have leveraged that moving forward. It could have been a really big cornerstone of Tesla's business. So why make such drastic cuts? Well, Tesla as a whole has seen a pretty dramatic decline in sales numbers recently. And cynically, there's also the matter of Elon Musk's pay package. That's a $47 billion compensation package on the line. And Musk could be looking at making these cuts until, you know, like Tesla is bleeding from 1,000 cuts in an effort to secure that moolah. Shareholders will actually get to vote on that later this year. And I can kind of understand that motivation. I mean, he essentially lit a pile of $44 billion of cash on fire after he bought Twitter and then did his best to reduce its value to nothing. So he needs to refresh the cash pile somehow. Plus, judges keep having this nasty habit of striking down his compensation package and denying him billions of dollars. Anyway, I'm not going to spend any time worrying about Elon Musk's financial future. I'm wishing all the folks who were affected by these recent cuts the absolute best of luck in finding gainful and satisfying employment elsewhere. Okay, we've got several other news stories to get through. Before we get to that, let's take a quick break.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back. And you know, Tesla is not the only big tech company cutting jobs this week. CNBC reports that Google is laying off hundreds of core employees. Around 200, it sounds like. And for some of these roles, Google will shift responsibilities to new team members, except these team members will be in places like Mexico and India. This falls in line with earlier cuts across Alphabet's companies. Just a reminder, Alphabet's the holding company that sits above Google, as well as other companies like YouTube. And Google management has messaged that, quote, announcements of this sort may leave many of you feeling uncertain or frustrated, end quote, which is both an understatement and definitely true. But management has also said these changes are supposed to be aligned with the company's mission and goals. And I suppose if the mission is to shift work to labor forces that work for much lower salaries, this is true, because labor is far less expensive in Mexico and India than in the United States. Google is giving affected employees the chance to apply for other jobs within the company or to use outplacement services, so, you know, I guess that's something. Speaking of Google, one of the company's massive antitrust lawsuits, and yes, there's more than one, is wrapping up with closing arguments today. It's the second day of closing arguments. It's the conclusion of this long trial. This particular lawsuit revolves around Google Search and the various ways Google has maneuvered to get Search featured as the default search engine on as many platforms as is possible. So the U.S. Department of Justice argues that Google used its considerable advantage to restrain other competitors from serving as actual competition, thus a monopolistic move. One example is how Google secures contracts with handset manufacturers to make Google Search the default search engine on the device. Now, Google's counterargument is that it's possible to change default settings, so this really isn't the big deal everyone says it is. But then, if it's not a big deal, why would Google spend billions of dollars to secure these agreements? And it does spend billions. And the New York Times revealed that in 2021 alone, Google forked over around $18 billion to Apple in return for being the default search engine on iOS devices. That's a lot of money. And while Google has claimed that the reason why other companies agreed to have Google as the default is that Google Search is the best search engine out there, they're saying, hey, we're not being unfair, we just happen to make the best product. The counter to this is that even if there were a search engine out there that would be as good as Google, the use of that alternative is unlikely because Google is offering these massive deals, right? These huge billion-dollar deals to have Google as the default search engine. So if you had one that was as good or maybe even superior to Google Search, companies still wouldn't go with that because it doesn't come along with billions of dollars. Now, by the time you hear this episode, the arguments may have concluded, and the judge will decide if the accusations have merit, and if that happens, then a separate case will be launched to decide what repercussions are to follow. So we will continue with this story later on. Plus, hey, we still have another antitrust lawsuit to talk about in the future. Switching to telecommunications companies, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, has handed down large fines to four big telecom companies, specifically Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, the big four in the United States. So why are these companies facing huge fines? Well, they are alleged to have illegally shared geolocation data of their users, their customers essentially, to third parties, without first getting the consent of those customers. More specifically, the charge is that the carriers sold geolocation data to aggregator companies, and these aggregators then turned around and sold the information to other third-party data brokers. And according to the FCC, the telecoms were trying to pass the buck as far as gaining consent from users is concerned. Their strategy was to essentially shift that responsibility further downstream to the data aggregators, which, you know, didn't get that consent. The individual fines range from $12 million, that's for Sprint, they pay the least, up to $80 million, which is for T-Mobile. And now we get into the, actually, crime does pay quite well, in fact, part of our news stories. First up, we have the crime of tax evasion and mail fraud. The accused is Roger Ver. He has the charming nickname of Bitcoin Jesus, and as that name implies, Ver holds quite a lot of Bitcoin. Back in 2014, Ver renounced his U.S. citizenship to become a citizen of St. Kitts and Nevis. However, at the time when he did this, at least according to the indictment, he happened to hold more than 130,000 Bitcoins, and yet did not report this to the United States before ditching the country for the tropics. And the U.S. government really likes to take its share of taxes, and Ver's share reportedly is somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million. So Spanish authorities arrested Ver on behalf of the United States last weekend while Ver was in Spain, and now the U.S. wants to extradite him back to the United States and hold him accountable for skipping town without paying the fees first. Honestly, I think Ver's going to be just fine. I mean, at least assuming he still has that significant cache of Bitcoins, because if you take it by today's value, you're talking about more than $7 billion worth of money, or wealth if you prefer, And so $50 million, while a not inconsiderable sum, is barely a drop in the bucket compared to the overall wealth this guy has. Here's another crime that seemed to pay well, at least up to a point, story. It's a story about owner Oksoy. He lives in Miami, Florida, and now he has been sentenced for his crime of passing off shoddy technology as genuine networking gear from the company Cisco. So Cisco has a valuable brand, right? Like, they have a reputation for their work, their products. So Oksoy was arrested way back in 2022 for running a scam that had lasted for several years. He would buy up cheap components from places like China, cram these components into cases that look like legitimate Cisco hardware, and then sell this junk off to various customers for way more than what he paid, though presumably under the market price for actual legitimate Cisco hardware. And he did this from 2014 to 2022. He made hundreds of millions of dollars in the process. Among his clientele was the U.S. military, and that's really where he stuck his nose in it, because once his crimes were discovered, the U.S. government really began to close in on him, though they did take their time. Anyway, the whole drama has now played out because Oksoy faces 6.5 years in prison, $100 million in fines to Cisco, and an undetermined amount that will be paid to the various customers he hoodwinked with shoddy imitations of Cisco hardware. But hey, he had a pretty good run. On the flip side of crime, let's talk about how Microsoft has made it clear that police departments are not to use products relying on Azure OpenAI services for the purposes of facial recognition technology. So essentially, Microsoft is saying it doesn't want to be a party to that kind of thing, and added languages in its terms and services that make it clear that police forces around the world are not authorized to leverage AI technologies running on Azure services for the purposes of facial recognition. That's interesting to me in a couple of ways. Y'all probably know that facial recognition technologies as a whole have a lot of problems, including false positives for people who belong to certain ethnic groups, typically non-white ethnic groups. And that facial recognition technology therefore contributes to a real social problem of authorities unfairly and unjustifiably placing hardships on these populations. But this also means Microsoft is kind of tacitly implying that there's a real weakness in a technology that the company is simultaneously spending billions of dollars developing, which is kind of like saying, hey, AI is the future, but don't use it for real important stuff because bad things can happen. It seems like mixed messages is what I'm saying. But anyway, you could argue this is the responsible thing to do, or you could be more cynical and probably more realistic and say that Microsoft adding this language in is really just an effort for the company to follow the old CYA strategy. You know, if the company says police are not supposed to use this for facial recognition, then it's not Microsoft's fault if and when some police force does exactly that, because they can say, we told them not to. And I've got some reading recommendations for y'all before I sign off. First up is Sharon Harding's piece for Ars Technica titled, All the Ways Streaming Services Are Aggravating Their Subscribers This Week. Obviously, the piece highlights some frustrating decisions that the operators of various streaming services have made that seem designed to alienate their customers, while more traditional forms of media continue to circle the drain. Fun times. Secondly, I recommend a piece by Andrew Griffin of The Independent. It is titled, Humans Now Share the Web Equally with Bots, Report Warns Amid Fears of the Dead Internet. Now, I mentioned in a recent Tech Stuff that a report from a cybersecurity firm says that around 49.6% of all traffic on the internet in 2023 came from bots. So this article explores what that actually means, including the so-called dead internet theory, which I may have to do a full episode on in the near future. And it just is this idea about the internet becoming this weird place where bots are creating and trafficking and consuming all the information across the system, and it becomes increasingly useless for actual human people. That's it for me for this week. I hope you are all well, and I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything.
You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.